Welcome back. In the final chapter of this particular subject, we're going to talk about something new, a new concept, sustainable finance. So today we'll see what do you mean by sustainability, what is sustainable finance. We'll try to evaluate the importance of this sustainable finance. We'll look at SDGs, what are the sustainable development goals, outline the stages of sustainable finance, look at challenges of integration of these sustainability into finance. We look at global reporting initiatives for sustainability, GRI standards, and we'll also try to interpret the business responsibility and sustainability reporting. We'll try to see what are these elements, what is sustainability all about, and how sustainable finance is a new, very in thing for all the companies. So let us start with understanding what do you mean by sustainability. Sustainability basically refers to an individual's capacity to meet present needs. So a business having capacity to meet the present needs without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their own needs. So what kind of business activities are you doing in order to ensure that the future generations do not get impacted because of you doing business today? So your business activities do not hamper the future of the coming generation in the coming years. So present needs are met in such a way that you don't compromise on ability of future generation enjoying benefits which are given by you or some other companies. Sustainability will usually focus on responsible resources. Okay, it wants you as a company to ensure you're utilizing the resources carefully, you're protecting the ecosystem, you're trying to reduce the waste, you're trying to promote social equity. That means you are fair in dealings with all kind of human, whether male, female, or the kind of people working in your organization. You're also ensuring that you're taking some current actions which do not negatively impact the future. So you're ensuring that the coming generation does not get impacted by business decisions taken by you. This concept is usually broken down under three pillars. So these three pillars are environmental sustainability, social sustainability, and economic sustainability. This is nothing but ESG, environment, social, economic sustainability, or I'll say corporate governance. So if that's about sustainability, let's come to our topic, sustainable finance. Sustainable finance refers to financial activities such as investments, loans, or any kind of financial products which are basically taken into account looking at the ESG factors. So if you're taking a loan, if it is for a ESG factor, if it is for sustainability, yes, there's a different product available which is cheaper than a normal term loan. So any kind of investment, any loans taken on any financial products in the market which are considering the ESG factors are part of sustainable finance. Sustainable finance also aims to drive a positive change by directing financial capital towards business and projects that support sustainable development, and they try to create a lasting value for society and the environment. So this entire concept of sustainable finance is now getting a big change in the society, as investors are now looking for options wherein any kind of ESG factor gets impacted because of investments. So why not look at green bonds or climate bonds instead of normal bonds? Investment in these would be considered as sustainable finance. What are the key aspects of sustainable finance? First key aspect is ESG integration. So sustainable finance is try to look for investment or try to design financial products available in the market to get investors in place who are supporting the entire view, or companies who are investing into projects which supports the environment, society, or governance. So ESG try to ensure that either of the project for which the money is raised or the kind of financial product the company is selling is going to get a bigger impact on the society, as it is for a sustainable solution. One of the key aspects of sustainable finance. Second, sustainable finance also believes in green finance. So why not have green bonds? Why not use renewable energy then using energy or exploiting energy which gets exhausted and is not available for future generation. So let it look at green or renewable energy with less climate pollution, less air pollution, less climate change happening, you saving carbon credits. If that's the case, why not look at green finance? This green finance, which is a green bond or a climate bond, is nothing but part of sustainable finance. It also talks about social impact investing. So sustainable finances don't only talk about investing into sustainable, you know, sustainable projects, but also tell me what kind of social impact have you created. Okay, so any kind of project which actually gets a social impact in the society is part of sustainable finance. So whether a society masses are getting benefited, whether you're providing education to a larger chunk of people who were deployed of education, did you build a school, did you give them hygiene facilities, did you create that social impact for a larger benefit of the society? If yes, you will say it is social impact investing. Next is sustainable bonds. So as we said, we have green bonds, climate bonds. These bonds are typically floated in the market. We have a lot of investors who are now only looking at sustainable investment rather than normal investment. So yes, sustainable bonds is the next new thing in case of investors in the share market who are keen in only investing money in such projects. We also have impact investing. Impact investing says that it is not only about, you know, safeguarding the society or the environment. It is also creating an impact, taking care of the masses, taking care of the human resources available. So what kind of impact did you create when you were investing the money? Did you actually touch these human resources? Did you train them well? Were gender equality norms formed? Do they feel safeguarded? What did you do for their mental health? How is their well-being in your organization? So what kind of impact did you create with any of these initiatives which you have taken under the ESG? If you can map that impact and show me how much have you safeguarded people or trained people or created a difference in them, yes, I would want to invest. So impact investing also says, in case you're going for an environmental norm and your company is emitting a lot of carbon dioxide, and because of that emission there was a lot of air pollution, or maybe there was a lot of change in the environment temperature. Now you have deployed such renewable resources which have reduced the emission of carbon dioxide, and the air pollution has reduced in that area in which your plant was functioning. So calculate that impact, show us whether it really is making a difference. It also says one of the key aspects of sustainable finance is sustainable investing. So investors, share market, all now have a new product which talks about looking for future generation, having a lot of solutions for the betterment of society of the future. If such projects are there, investors are ready to fund such kind of projects, which is known as sustainable investing. So company deploying money in such projects, investors giving them money for such projects are all part of sustainable investing. Now, why is this sustainable finance so important? What do you think? Don't you think sustainable finance is something which is taking care of your kids or maybe kids of your kids? So you're not only looking about what's going to happen in the next 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, or maybe next 40 or 50 years. So it's a long-term investing. You're looking at long-term impact creation with your small initiatives. So why it's becoming very, very important in today's world? We see a lot of global climate changes happening, and it's not only the climate changes, it is also poverty, hunger. These are some global social issues which are prominent in many countries. In order to address these global challenges, this entire initiative was taken by United Nations when it formed the Sustainable Development Goals. To meet those goals and to actually address these challenges, sustainable finance has taken shape. This particular finance is also helping shareholder create a long-term value. So now companies are not only focusing on short-term goals of earning profit for the shareholder, but they want the shareholder to realize that the impact of these sustainable finance activities is going to impact the generation in the coming years, and long-term value creation is done by companies who are getting into sustainable finance. So long-term value generation for the shareholder, people feel more committed toward this organization, which is giving back to the society. And yes, it actually impacts the thought process of investors coming in. There's a lot of risk mitigation because of sustainable finance. You are finding out what is the environmental risk, what is the social risk, what is the governance risk. So what are the different operational risks with respect to what business you are doing? How are you actually impacting the society? This risk is getting mitigated with these small initiatives of sustainability. So these initiatives are mitigating the risk of you not falling into some kind of government regulation or government de-licenses in future. So in case you are already investing into such activities, you will be safeguarded from any such norm or any kind of deregulation or de-licensing by the government for creating any problem for future generation. So ESG is having a lot of prominence. Sustainability is the next need of the hour. It also helps in fostering innovation and economic growth. Now you need to look for an alternative which is going to help the society, which is going to be more reliable. So instead of plastic, what kind of material are you going to give for your packaging? Is it recyclable? Oh, if it is, how would I come to know? So I will make my team work on innovative ideas so that I can get a sustainable solution for the problem I'm addressing. So it will foster innovation among business people. They'll come up with some new alternatives, and that would further lead to economic growth. Sustainable finance is also encouraging a lot of ethical business practices. See, once you're saying that you are now reporting non-financial reporting items, I'm going to talk about what sustainable reporting is all about, where the ESG factors are mapped. I'm reporting it under corporate governance, what initiatives I'm taking. And this is encouraging a lot of ethical business practices. Now businesses feel there is somebody who's monitoring us. We cannot be unfair with employees. We cannot be unfair with the society or with the environment. So ethical business practices are taking shape because of the sustainable finance. There's a lot of support which is given to companies from transition to a low carbon economy. So government is running a lot of new schemes in case you're coming up with some kind of solution which requires a lot of capital expenditure. But if it is a sustainable solution, you'll get investment at a cheaper price, and a lot of support is given by the government for your transition to a low carbon economy. So yes, a lot of government schemes and initiatives would also support your entire idea of sustainable finance. This not only aligns with your business goals now, it is now also aligning your business with global goals. So if you're looking for foreign investors also to join in along with domestic investors, try working out sustainable solutions in your company and look for sustainable finance for good initiatives to make the future world a better place. Now, what are the sustainable development goals? As I said, the United Nations has set up these 17 global objectives. It established that these objectives should be addressed by each country, and these countries have further informed the businesses, are involving the top businesses to take up initiatives which supports these goals. So let us see what are these sustainable development goals which United Nations have been addressing since 2015 in order to ensure the world becomes a better place to live in even in future. First, it says, let's look at countries working on a goal of having no poverty. So come up with good social initiatives so that nobody remains poor. Everybody gets some kind of employment activity. They are able to generate their income and they're able to eat their own food. Second, zero hunger. Ensure that lower strata of the society doesn't sleep hungry. There's no malnutrition problem in the country. So that's a responsibility of the government that there is zero hunger. That's the reason a lot of governments have this midday meal program, or they are distributing food at the school level so that the nutrition is maintained. There is nobody sleeps hungry in the country. So give them good opportunities that they can generate business, and also support the kids with some kind of midday meals. Next is good health and well-being. Comes with ensuring zero hunger comes nutrition, and so promote that you are selling those products and getting those products which are healthy. Also talk about well-being of individuals in the company as well as So we see a lot, our country or other countries also promoting a lot of exercises like yoga nowadays, which ensures mental well-being also and physical well-being of individuals. So ensure everybody is having good health, well-being. Try to ban products which are actually, you know, deteriorating or detrimental to people's health. Try to put good checks on these products so that future generation or the current generation doesn't face any medical issues. Give quality education. Ensure even the poor person in the country is able to afford education, or give free education to the lower strata of the society. When I say give free education, it should not be only free, it should be quality education, which can help them make competitive and compete with other students so that they can get better jobs or get scholarships maybe for reaching a different level. Ensure gender equality. Ensure that all the women also have key positions in the in any kind of government or non-government or private organization. Get all the genders at equal power. Give equal opportunities to both the gender. No gender discrimination to be there in the society. Ensure clean water sanitation is there. Ensure cleaning of rivers, lakes. Ensure there are no water pollution happening in the country. Check for initiatives which can be done so that any kind of chemicals which are emitted by the companies, they are fined, they are made to clean those particular things. So drinking water, clean drinking water, and good hygiene and sanitation services to be provided to all under SDG. Ensure affordable and clean energy. Affordable and clean energy means look at renewable resources, renewable energy instead of using resources which can get depleted. Instead of coal, why not look for some other options? So that's the reason under affordable and clean energy, we see a lot of power companies now investing in wind energy or any other renewable form to generate, say, solar energy, so that they can give energy to masses at a very, very cheaper cost. Ensure decent work and economic growth. See that all the employees are getting the right salary, they are able to get right employment opportunity. There is no employee groups, association or unions which are formed at different level. They are supported by the government. Their thoughts are heard and they feel inclusive growth in whichever company they work. So decent work means inclusive. Everybody is involved in the decision making. All genders, equal treatment. Industry innovation and infrastructure. Industry innovation and infrastructure talks about coming up with innovative solutions which support future generation, ensure the right infrastructure is available for all, which actually reduces cost for companies, and a lot of innovative ideas are supported. So be it Startup India or any such initiative, support these initiatives so that younger people can look at entrepreneurship as one of the options. Reduce inequality, ensure lower society gets equal opportunity to become richer. The divide between the rich and the poor should become less, and so equality should be maintained. Next is setting up sustainable cities and communities. Look at smart cities coming up. So ensure that sustainable cities and communities are built up. They are set up in different places, and such kind of initiatives could help people understand the importance of maintaining the environment for future. Have responsible consumption and production of resources. Utilization of resources to be checked. In case anybody is using any farm products, they are now asked to, you know, even produce their own farm product. And in case you are cutting one tree or expected to, you know, plant 10 trees or 100 trees, with such kind of an idea, have responsible consumers or consumption and production to be happening at different business levels. Ensure climate action is taken into place. So check how the climate is getting impacted by the business activities. Check for climate control. Set up boards which are, you know, continuously monitoring these climate changes so that less air pollution happens, so that the global climate can be maintained, which takes care not only your country's, it doesn't only benefit your country, it benefits the entire world. Ensure life below water is conserved, whether it is ocean, sea, they are maintained properly. They are not getting depleted, as well as the marine life is also taken care of. They are not dying because of any chemical emissions. So ensure healthy marine life below the water, as well as cleaning and providing clean water, and ensuring ocean seas are maintained properly. Similarly, also take care of life on land. When we're talking about life of land, ensure there's no deforestation happening. You have different tree setups, you have forest conserved properly in our country. Even those animals are maintained properly, they don't face any problem. So we see them, we don't see that species become extinct in future. Each country's responsibility is to ensure peace, justice and strong institutions. So have justice organization in place, fair justice, cheaper justice, free justice for all. Ensure these are set up so that people can go to them in case of they feel any kind of wrongdoings happening with them. Similarly, try for partnership for these goals. Involved businesses, have private-public partnership, have partnership with different bodies, maybe international or national, to ensure that you're able to meet the sustainable development goals. So this is what UN has proposed in 2015, and I'm sure a lot of countries have already worked a lot in the last one decade on these goals, and the journey continues. So now, in case you know these UN norms and you in the business are interested in going for sustainable finance, what are these three stages of sustainable finance? First, if I'm into investment, my profit maximization would be a key objective as an investor, but I will ensure that I maximize my profit by avoiding sin stocks. What are sin stocks? Sin stocks are those stocks which are basically promoting use of alcohol, tobacco, or any product which harms the environment. Maybe even oil companies or mining companies which are emitting a lot of pollutions, they are also defined under sin stocks. So sin stocks are those stocks which hamper the future environment, which impacts the future generation. There is some relaxation now given for these oil or mining companies. However, selling tobacco products or selling alcohol which disturbs individual health is part of sin stock. Second, after I've ensured that I am investing and I'm maximizing my profit using sin stocks, I will find out internalizing externalities to mitigate risk. So I'll find out what is financial reporting and non-reporting and how can I mitigate risk with respect to investment in such kind of projects. So whenever I'm coming up with a sustainable finance project, I'll check that the project, I should understand that it has a long-term, long tenure for it to show an impact, whether this reporting is done properly, whether the company is using the funds properly. If yes, I would want to invest. There's a lot of patience required in investing in this stock because the waiting period is high for receiving the returns. So internalizing externalities to mitigate your risk should be one of the objectives. So each company who's into using sustainable finance should ensure that they're mitigating the risk for future generation. They are taking up or investing money in those projects. Third, try to ensure that you are contributing to sustainable development while ensuring financial viability. So ensure that whatever investments you have done in these sustainable projects are not only a cost center, they ensure good profitability. They are financially viable also when it comes to business to ensure shareholders get the right pricing. So these are the stages with respect to sustainable finance. Let's talk about what are the challenges when you see or try to integrate sustainability into finance. So now getting sustainability item into finance or for financial investors, what are the major challenges? Let's take it one by one. So the first challenge is lack of standardization and consistency. This is one of the biggest challenges because a global standard is different compared to what standards you are following. So how would you come to know what is the right standard for reporting when it comes to sustainability impact? And maybe you're not consistent with respect to reporting. So there is no proper global norms or global standards in place, which had actually led to lack of standardization and consistency for reporting with respect to sustainability into finance. There are a lot of data gaps and quality issues. We do have reporting format now being put into place. However, lot of data is not shared by the company with respect to the funds allocated or the impact created, and maybe the initiative which they have taken may also have some kind of quality issues which may not be highlighted by the company. In case of the next challenge with respect to integrating sustainability into finance, we see there is a short-term focus on financial markets. There are investors who are looking at profitability of the company, and this short-term focus is not letting them understand the long-term benefit of sustainability into finance. So financial data is very different than non-financial aspect of ESG, which becomes a data gap. Similarly, because of this, the investor feels that the money is not getting utilized properly, and they are only looking at short-term plan of earning better returns than the long-term investments with respect to ESG. There is a lot of complexity of measuring ESG impact, very difficult to calculate the social impact, environmental impact, or financial impact for future, and so that could also be an hindrance for investors to invest in. Financial returns with social and environment returns cannot be combined together. However, we have the ESG reporting in the annual report. There are two different sections and frameworks designed. So very difficult to quantify whether you have made profit because of an ESG initiative. So you can't actually calculate the financial return based on your ESG initiative. There's also a regulatory and policy uncertainty with respect to ESG. We don't know if sustainable schemes would be there in future or no. Maybe I'm utilizing a particular scheme, my company is getting a benefit. What about this in the future? So as a shareholder investor, it becomes, you know, it would become difficult for them to accept if that's not there in the future. The regulation may just change, or the policy may right now looks very uncertain. So why would they really invest into such kind of projects? There is greenwashing and misleading claims at times. Greenwashing and misleading claims talks about having very tall claims or hiding a lot of information, misrepresentation of information to investors with respect to the company's initiative. Market liquidity and scale. There are few of these sustainable finance products. However, they are very illiquid because the market right now is not ready or acceptable, or we don't have a bigger market for these funds or these investments. The scale is comparatively lower than the normal financial market, and so thus it's one of the challenge of integration of sustainability with finance. There's a lot of cultural and institutional resistance also. A lot of companies are not open for accepting this cultural change, or accepting the entire sustainability idea, or changing the entire process of working, or being very inclusive. And that's also another resistance for investment options to come with respect to sustainability. There are also economic and geopolitical risk. These geopolitical risk or tension could be inherited in the country or maybe abroad, and wherever you are doing business, and that's the reason you are worried whether you want to go for sustainability or no. So maybe you're dealing with a country, a European country, which is very strict about climate exchange or climate carbon credits. So you'll be forced to change your, working, or maybe your product norms, or get specific licenses. However, that mandate may not be in other markets. So whether you should invest in this particular sustainable finance or initiative or no is a big question for each company. Now, what are these GRI standards, Global Reporting Initiative for Sustainability? These standards were basically done so that we have some global standards in place with respect to reporting of what impact have you created for ESG. So GRI standards are a comprehensive framework which includes all the three: environment, social and governance factors. They all are reported in a framework which the standards maintain. It is in a modular structure. So some standards are sector specific, some particular factors are grouped under three different E, S and G. So I'll say that GRI standards follow modular structure wherein industry specific, sector specific or ESG specific reporting or standards are maintained. It's more stakeholder inclusive. GRI standard says get all the stakeholders, get their feedback, include them, ensure you're giving proper information to each stakeholder. So it is stakeholder inclusive. GRI standards actually believe in materiality principle. It says whatever is the material information, what is actually happening, whatever can be quantified, try to quantify and give the material facts. Don't give any facts which are non-material. So it talks about materiality concept. It says give material information of whatever initiatives you have taken. It also speaks about sustainability. It says that sustainability is the next thing when it comes to ESG, and this context needs to be mapped. You need to also, it also talks about impact investing or reporting, how this entire sustainability have you bought with your initiatives? It's very transparent and it's comparable. You can compare one company's GRI framework with other company and you can check what kind of impact have they created. It's completely transparent. The regulations are very clear and it gives you a choice to compare from one company to another. It ensures lot of assurance is given to external party. If I'm an investor, I have lot of assurance given with respect to what the company is doing and how the norms are, how they have actually created an impact. So lot of external assurance comes, risk mitigation is happening, and it's not only one party involved, but I'll say all together are now working towards ensuring that ESG or sustainability is achieved. What are the benefits for any country, or what are the benefits of these standards for any company per se? These GRI standards have ensured that companies are now more transparent with respect to what kind of funds are getting allocated for, you know, funding ESG projects. So there's a lot of transparency as you are reporting them as a non-financial reporting item in the annual report. Decision making has improved. You know that you have to do something which is ethical towards a sustainable future. So you take better decisions at the top level. It is also ensuring that there's a global benchmarking. You can benchmark your company versus a global competitor and you can actually compete with a better product in the global markets now. This GRI standard reporting is also helping companies build a good reputation and goodwill in the market, which is getting more and more investors for investment in their company. It is also ensuring that you do a lot of regulatory compliance. You are adhering to the norms which are set by the government under the UN SDGs, and it is ensuring long-term value creation for investors. So brand building, long-term value creation for investors in the company is the next new norm because of GRI standards. Lot of companies, irrespective of following the GRI standards, are also looking at voluntary sustainability standards. So there are some standards which are voluntary available, which you could actually adopt and do some kind of ESG activities. So there is an agreement on fair trade where it talks about how do you deal with other parties. There's an agreement on Rainforest Alliance, which talks about how can you conserve the forest, you know, what is allowed, what is disallowed. There is also a Forward Stewardship Council, which is checking for deforestation, taking care of animal habitat, checking for how to conserve the forest. There is also Global Organic Textile Standards, which talks about how can you do processes to ensure, you know, you have organic textile coming out of, you're conserving the environment for future generation. So these standards are there in place for environmental standard per se. We also have social standards like Fair Trade Certification or SA 8000. SA 8000 basically talks about human rights, labor laws, fair treatment to all the employees in the company. Or you could also go for economic standards. In under economic standards, we have ISO 26000, which talks about how environment could be protected, what could be done to ensure you have quality products, thereby conserving the environment and natural resources. Or you can go for a B Corp certifications. These are some voluntary sustainability standards also, which companies are now taking up. So you also have a third party who does an audit after you adopt these standards. There are a lot of companies which have started this certification for companies. Now let's come to a very, very pressing topic now, that is business responsibility and sustainability reporting. This reporting framework is designed by SEBI and it has made a mandate for the top 1,000 companies to report their ESG initiative under this particular framework. So what is this business responsibility and sustainable reporting? It is nothing but a framework or a practice which each company has to follow in order to inform all the shareholders in their annual report what kind of performance have their ESG initiatives undertaken. So whatever ESG initiative they have undertaken, what performance have they shown? This framework or guideline is basically made taking into views of different associations. So GRI standards are taken into consideration while making this framework by SEBI. Sustainability Accounting Standard Board's norms and regulations were taken into consideration. Climate related financial disclosures are also included in this reporting. There is also an integrated reporting framework which says how non-financial and financial reporting go hand in hand in an annual report, under what framework, And it is also promoting ISO 26000 certification for a lot of companies. Now, talking about these reporting standards, you will see that there are 9 key categories which they have defined for this BRSR. So, this report will show you 9 different key categories which are in alignment with national guidelines for responsible business conduct. First, quadrant will talk about environmental protection, so your initiatives for conserving the environment. Second, we'll talk about human rights, how fair have you been with the human, number of employees, your task force, you know, gender equality gets covered here. It talks about integrity, what initiative does a company actually take in order to be transparent and fair in its dealing. It also talks about employee well-being, so for their mental, physical well-being, initiatives taken and the impact created. It talks about inclusive growth, giving opportunities, growing the business internally, and giving opportunities to a lot of people to come up with new innovative ideas. It talks about sustainable products and services. What initiative did the company take in order to come up with sustainable solution or to make sustainable products and services rendered to the consumers? It talks about responsible consumer engagement. So how have you included the customers? Have you given them the right information? Are they part of decision making? Are their feedback or, you know, taken into account? Are you working on their suggestions? Then there is stakeholder responsiveness. So how not only the consumer, the entire stakeholder, be it shareholder, be it could be vendors, how are they connected? What are you doing for their upliftment? Are they also part of giving suggestion or feedback mechanism? And last is responsible public policy engagement. What have you done to ensure that the society is getting benefited? How kind of, what kind of activities do you do for creating a social impact towards a society where you have set up the office or wherever you are involved, maybe in the state in which you have set up your plant, or what kind of initiatives do you take for social welfare of the place wherever your office or your manufacturing plant is based? So you talk about these 9 quadrants. Under 9 quadrants, there are different questions, around 140 questions put up, which the company needs to answer to talk about the impact created. What is the benefit of this reporting? If I'm an investor, I'm very happy with sustainable reporting because it gives increased transparency with respect to my money getting utilized. It also ensures that I feel that the company is doing good. It will definitely lead to a higher goodwill, reputation building for the company. I feel a company which is giving such kind of reporting has lesser risk in the market compared to the other companies. And I am sure as an investor that regulatory compliances are taken into consideration, as there is a body which is checking this report, what you are actually giving. It also says regulatory compliance. There are third party also giving you certification. That certification also gives me confidence, further confidence as an investor, that the company is complying to all the regulations set up by the government. This company would attract more and more investment, and so I'm sure my shareholder wealth or market price of my share, wherever this reporting is done, will go up. And definitely it is a market differentiator. It will stand out compared to its competitors and do better as a company, not only for today but also in future. So these are the benefits of sustainability reporting. I'm sure you've understood what is sustainability. You also understand sustainable finance now. Thank you for your patient listening.